What's good, everybody? This episode of the Moonshot Podcast, I have on my friend from Twitter, or X, The Investronaut. The Investronaut is big into Cardano NFTs, and we talk about how we both got into crypto, why we love Cardano, and a lot about different NFT projects and communities that we are both a part of. His Twitter is at The Investronaut, and I will link his page in the show notes below. Enjoy. All right, everybody. I've got my buddy here, the Investronaut from Twitter, or X, I guess. Investronaut, how's it going, man?
It's going well. Big Melty. Can't really complain. It's a little late on my side, but you know what? I said, you know what? I want to do this with you, so here I am.
Yeah, you're an hour ahead of me. It's 9 o'clock here, and so I appreciate the willingness to do this late at night. I just had to get my kids in bed so that the house was quiet before I jumped on here.
No, I totally get that. How many do you have?
Two kids, two boys. I have a 5-year-old and 2-year-old, and they're crazy. Yeah, they're a lot of fun, but they're crazy.
Giving you your run for your money, huh?
Oh, yeah.
I've only got one. I got one girl. She's almost 3.
Nice.
She's pretty laid back, to be honest. It's so funny. It's like before, we had kids, we always imagined it would be a boy, and we were all ready for a boy.
Yeah.
And they said it was a girl. And after seeing all my friends who have boys that are just so rambunctious, and then like thinking about myself when I was a kid, it's like, you know what? I'm kind of happy I have a girl.
Yeah. There's definitely, I think, I don't want to say pros and cons to both, but they're just different. So yeah. There's some things with boys, I think, that are easier. Some things with girls that seem to be easier. So yeah.
I feel like in the beginning, boys are more difficult because they're full of energy and they want to do a lot, and girls a little bit laid back. But when they're older, you have to worry less about the boys and just society in general, and then you have to worry about, you know, the boys in reference to your girl.
Oh yeah,
when older. So it's like, you know,
100%, 100%. Yep, yeah. Our 2-year-old, he's a savage. I'm like 99% sure he has ADHD because he can just not sit still 24/7.
Yeah. So
putting him to bed is a whole like 45-minute ordeal.
I've been there.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're here to talk about crypto. That's kind of how we met-ish, kind of on Twitter or X. We're kind of in the same communities there. So I wanted to ask you how you got into crypto, you know, what sparked your interest, and so. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Pledge Roofing. If you live in Oklahoma and you have roof damage, Pledge is the company for you. Click the link in the show notes for their website where you can contact them to get a free quote. What got you into it?
It's a good question. It's funny because I feel like I've, at this point, I'm like a vet that I almost don't even remember how I got into it. But wow. Let me see. It's like okay, let's go back to the beginning. I first heard of Bitcoin in 2013.
Okay.
I had a coworker of mine's boyfriend at the time. We were at a bar or, you know, whatever, drinking beers and chilling. And he turns to me and he goes, "Oh, have you ever heard of Bitcoin?" And then he showed me the whole thing about the dude that bought the pizza with Bitcoin and all sorts of stuff. And I was like, "Nah, I never heard of it. It looks weird." And then I kind of like shoot him off. I'm like, "Yeah, this sounds very scammy. I'm not interested," and just, you know, didn't bat an eye and didn't think about it. Then the bull run of 2017 rolls around, and I'm like, holy shit, this is the thing that kid was telling me about back in 2013. This is wild. And like everybody else in the crypto, they always go, "Man, I heard about it back then. And if I would have just spent $1,000 and bought X amount of Bitcoin," you know, like,
yep.
But yep. Yeah, so which is fine. But so, you know, 2017 rolls around, and I started to educate myself a little bit more on Bitcoin and then Ethereum. And then when the bull run started like really vamping, I was getting into all types of random coins. It was like this coin called Dentacoin. which was like, I don't even know if anybody remembers that one, but it was like, I guess it was supposed to be like a coin for dentistry or whatever.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. It was like 0.00000001 to the dollar. So I probably have like a trillion of those locked away in some exchange that I no longer have access to. Cause it was so long ago. But yeah, got in that way. Bought some Bitcoin, then turned the Bitcoin into Ethereum. And it was kind of just riding the wave through that bull run. And I was trying to do trading here and there. You know, I made $3,000 overnight, and then like obviously lost it like the next night, just like, you know, how it goes in crypto.
Yep.
And then after a while, when the bull run ended and things started to go down, I kind of like lost interest, I'm sure, like everybody else. But I still held on to my Ether. I think I had, I don't even know how much. It was like, at the time, it was like 1,000-something. By the time it went to the bottom, it was like, I can't even remember, maybe 100 or something. And then like 2020 rolls around, and my buddy was DCAing into Bitcoin when it got back down to like, I think 5-6K.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, let me pay attention again. I still wasn't that into it, but I was like, let me pay attention. Eventually I went back to my, my wallet, to see what was in there, and the Ether was worth 5K.
Nice.
By the time I looked, I was like, oh shit. Okay. What can I do with this? And then like, and this is the crazy part. I was still such a novice that I was literally just trading coins for coins, not thinking much about it, which is kind of like, it's kind of like an advantage when you don't know as much, because you're just taking risks left and right without knowing. As soon as you start understanding the risk, the more apprehensive you are of taking them.
Yep.
So I was watching some YouTube channels, and I heard, I can't remember, the maybe Evan Sheldon, maybe his name, I don't know, was talking about Cardano. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, this sounds cool. He's talking about like how methodical they are, how many papers they write and all this other stuff. And I was like, okay, I like the way that sounds and all the different stages that they were, you know, Shelley and, Voltaire and all of them. Yes. I can't remember them all. Mm-hmm. But I was like, this, you know, this sounds pretty good. So I swapped out my Ether for ADA.
Nice.
And literally just rode that and all the way up from, I think I got in at like, I don't know, 14 cents.
Ooh.
And rode that up. Yeah. And rode that all the way up until the peak, obviously. And then, like an idiot, because it was like the first time that I was actively in the bull run, I just watched it go all the way back down.
Yeah. Oh, so you got $5,000 to ADA at 14 cents, pretty much?
Something like that.
Dude, that's incredible. Man. Wow. So that's pretty sweet. I mean, I had a similar experience. I didn't hear about it until the 2017 run. I think I only bought a couple hundred bucks of Bitcoin and some Bitcoin Cash, because I didn't know what I was doing. I just had a buddy tell me about Coinbase, and you know, I see it, get log on to Coinbase and or make an account and see that Bitcoin Cash is, you know, $300 and Bitcoin's 16,000, and I'm like, well, I'm going to buy the cheaper one just because I, like I said, didn't know what I was doing. And then pretty much just forgot about it right before I started law school. And then kind of like you, 2020, things got real hot again, and started seeing stuff on social media about it. Started buying back into Bitcoin because I was like, oh yeah, I remember this too. Mm-hmm. And then I bought an NFT on Ethereum, and the gas fee was like as much as the NFT. And I was like, this is stupid. This doesn't make sense. And, I can't remember how I came across Cardano. I really wish I could remember how I came across Cardano, but somehow I came across it, and kind of like you, I was like, wow, this just makes sense. I like how methodical they are. And it was a few months before they, before Coinbase listed them. And so I was just like waiting for Coinbase to list them, because at the time they were only on like weird exchanges, and I don't know why I just didn't make an account. But anyway, so once it was listed on Coinbase, I was just like all in on Cardano. So
have you, were you not, I guess you weren't into the other like random exchanges during that time period?
Back in like 2017, I had one with, I don't know if it was Bitfrex or something like that. I'm trying to remember.
Bittrex?
Yeah, it might have been that. It might have been that. I think I had another account with another weird one. I don't even know if they're around anymore. But in 2020, when I got back in, I was just using Coinbase. I don't know why I didn't really branch out to other ones to get more exposure to other coins, but Coinbase, I think I just liked the interface. And it was just real simple and slick, so I just kind of stuck with that.
Yeah, it definitely felt like not scammy. Like so many of the other exchanges, and they're like located all over the freaking world. So like,
right,
to know that there was one that was in the United States that had a clean interface that just felt like, you know, a solid piece of software. I can understand why people would be more into that. I was even using GDAX at the time, which turned into, I think, Coinbase Pro. But then, like, I was such a degen that, like, I was trying to get my hands on any low-cap coin that would, like, you know, bring me crazy returns. And so, like you said, you had to go on these random places. Dude, when I first bought Bitcoin, it wasn't even off an exchange. I bought it off of a peer-to-peer. I was buying Bitcoin peer-to-peer. Wow,
that's amazing.
Yeah. Like, and it was amazing, but it was stressful, bro, because it's predicated on, okay, I'll send you the money, and then you send me the Bitcoin.
Send me the Bitcoin, yeah.
Man, thinking about it now, it's so funny because like back then it was like, oh, that's how you do it. It's the only way. Thinking about it now, it's like, Jesus, I would never in my life ever go about it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeez. That's crazy. It's like back in the day with when eBay first started, like you never knew if the product was legit and there was no like seller ratings and stuff. So that's pretty wild, man. That's wild. So when you got into Cardano, were you like pretty like all in at first, or were you still kind of, into other coins or?
So, it was definitely my biggest bag. Mm-hmm. It was my moonshot, my retirement. I think mainly because I love the idea of staking at the time. Yeah. I didn't really, know too many of the coins that were staking in that manner. Like ETH was staking, but it was like you had to have it locked up for a certain period of time, mm-hmm. or you can like use like a BlockFi.
Yeah,
and use something like that, but that's locked up as well. So I was like, so you're telling me I can have my coins in my wallet and just make a return on it instantly and just claim it every 5 days? Like, mm-hmm. who wouldn't want to be about that, right?
Right.
So I was like, okay, this is where I'm going to put the majority of my time and effort. And then I was watching a lot of, you know, influence at the time. I was watching, my God, Ben, BitBoy.
BitBoy,
who I no longer watch. God, we can have a whole conversation on that, dude.
Yeah.
Because honestly, in the beginning, he was actually very helpful. And he was, like, low-key, and he was, like, kind of cool. And then he just went off the rails as soon as you start making money and getting influence. So I don't listen to him anymore. I used to listen to, I think the guy who really got me into it the most was Journey Crypto. You know him?
Journey Crypto. I don't. Is he on YouTube or Twitter?
Yeah. So he's on both, but he like started big on YouTube and then eventually, started his own NFT company and all this stuff.
Nice.
It's pretty cool, but I never like got into it because he's Ethereum based, and it's like you said, like the fees are just ridiculous. And I'm not trying to maybe lose some, like have a failed transaction and lose money. Like that just was not appealing to me. So
yeah,
that's why I stay clear from that. But he was talking about Cardano a lot. Cardano, 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 Cardano. And I must have watched, I don't know, months and months of him until, you know, he started doing his own thing, and then he stopped talking so much about Cardano. So he's the one that really got me into it. And then from then, I think, so through that, I was still kind of on the sidelines with Cardano. I was investing, but I wasn't in the community, you know, the way that I am now.
Yeah.
I had a Twitter, but I barely really used it. I got all my information from YouTube. And then after the bull run ended, I found myself kind of like chatting. I got into NFTs. That's what it was. I got into CNFTs, as they say. And through that, obviously, you are joining multiple communities. And,
right.
You know, the information you want to get for that is on Twitter. So, you know, you're paying more attention to Twitter and the people that are talking on Twitter. And then you kind of just get sucked in. And that's what happened. I got sucked into it. I started making content and things started moving. And I was like, you know what, maybe I can actually like try to do something with that. So that's where I am right now.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. The NFTs were really what really sold it for me. Like you said, it just, they suck you in. I don't know what it is, but they're just so addicting, man. Like, I was buying some real stupid ones when NFTs kind of first started on Cardano, that I don't even have anymore. I still have one of my Pavia land plots that I bought like when Pavia first launched. Like, I bought it on secondary market, but I've had it. How long has Pavia been out? Like 18 months at least?
Yeah.
Longer?
Way over a year.
Yeah. So, and then go ahead.
Do you remember your first NFT on Cardano?
I don't. I still have the wallet that I bought it on. So I could probably go find and look at the transaction history and find out that first one that I bought. But
that's a good point. Mine was an ADA square.
ADA square?
Yeah. They didn't go anywhere, you know, and it's funny because like after being in this for so long, if I would have looked at a project like that today, I obviously would have just like passed by it and not bat an eye at it. But at the time I was like, oh, this looks really cool. I think other people think it's really cool. And I guess nobody did either that, or, you know, they didn't know how to market. Cause I thought the images were kind of cool, but they just didn't know how to market it. They didn't have any utility behind it. So it failed. But I still have it.
You do. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Only because nobody wants to buy it. So what else am I going to do with it?
Right. Yeah. I do remember one of the first. It wasn't the first, but I was buying Space Apes. I think that's what they're called. Mm-hmm. They're kind of a ripoff of the Bored Ape Yacht Clubs. I mean, they were different, but it's the same kind of idea. And I mean, it's kind of cool art, like pretty decent art. And so I bought a few, and then they kind of tanked, and I just got rid of them real quick. Sold at a loss, but I do remember those. Man, I wish I could remember some of the other ones.
What's like, you hold now that's like, do you have an NFT that you're like, I don't care what happens to the market with it. Like, I love this piece. I'm going to have framed on the wall type NFT.
Yeah. I have a bunch of, Melting Moon Boys. That's what really, made me love NFTs. And I don't know how I came across those either, but I think it was on Twitter because I just started following a bunch of Cardano people, and one of those Moon Boys popped up on my timeline, and I just fell in love with the art immediately. So I was buying those left and right. And then I don't know if you're familiar with the Melting Moon Boys.
So when I first started like creating content on Twitter, my thing was like just NFT. So I would, any new project I would find, I would tweet about it.
Okay,
so
cool.
I was on Twitter. It popped up, and I was like, "This looks dope. I think, you know, other people are gonna like it." and I was following them. I think I minted a couple, but ended up like, I think flipping them, mm-hmm. not even realizing what I was doing. Cause this was like before I was like looking to buy and then like flip, but I just bought, I think maybe like two and then sold one because it like went up a good amount. And I was like, oh, well, if I sell this one now, and it's like, I got an NFT for free. So why gotcha. Not? And then eventually I ended up just selling that one. But no, gotcha. I totally agree. Like their artwork is great, but they came at a time, and like, I have no idea what they're up to now, but like they came at a time where everything was just like, if it looks cool, that's it. That's all you need is art, and it needs to look cool. But like, obviously now we're in the days of utility. What does it do? What's it, you know, essentially when people say, you know, it's funny, when people say utility, they don't really care, you know, what function is it going to create to make things better in our world? All they care is what utility is there that's going to make me money. That's all they care about.
Yeah.
Just so stupid and funny at the same time. But like, I understand.
Yeah,
that's the days of utility.
Yeah. Like, I do appreciate a project that has like good utility, like a good staking platform where you can stake your NFTs. Like, I don't know. Like, I get that. It just deepens the project and can help broaden the community. But like those Melting Moon Boys, man, I still have 20. I had a lot more at one point, but I have 20 right now. And they're staking. I'm getting the moon tokens every day. The project founders they're still working on things. I think they're still working on making Moon Boy ordinals on Bitcoin. They were supposed to come out a few months ago, but they hit a snag and they're redoing everything from the ground up. So, but they're still working on it. It's just really slow. And their roadmap, I was really like heavily invested in them when I kind of noticed their roadmap, and then they didn't have like a real clear direction, and that kind of worried me, but I just couldn't give them up just because I love the art so much. And like I said, I still have them. I'll never sell them. So. Yeah. I like that. That's a good point. Yeah. I was just talking to somebody else. They were saying that they could have done some really cool like merch, like hoodies or hats with them. And I wish they did. But we'll see.
People are usually like, oh, don't, you know, speak my ideas. But you know what? I'm more about like, if you speak it, it'll, you know, that's how it comes into existence. So like, I always had this idea, and I never understood why NFT companies never did this. And if they do, I haven't heard about it. But they don't make merch based off of the traits within their collection. Like, all you have to do is, if you have a, like you said, you have a Melting Moon Boy that has, I can't remember what the traits are, but is wearing a Melted Moon Boy jacket, and it's like
made of,
you know, something like that. Just make that in real life and sell that. Who the hell out there that owns an NFT that has a particular hat that's on your NFT isn't going to want to wear that hat in real life? You know what I'm saying?
And
NFTs, the thing that, you know, is kind of asinine is like, yeah, they create utility, but the utility is for the people within the ecosystem of the NFT. And in order for an NFT company to grow, it needs to reach outside of the crypto ecosphere and into the real world. They need to create value for the everyday person's everyday life. And by creating a hat or a hoodie that looks like your NFT, wearing it around out in the real world, that's spreading your project out into the real world. And I just don't understand why they do it. They do merch, but it's just, you know, their logo on a t-shirt. On a black t-shirt or on a black hoodie. It's like, yeah, anybody can do that, but not everybody has the rights to do that specific trait that you have. you know?
Right. Yeah. So. That's a really good point. I've never thought of it that way. Yeah, that's a great point and a great idea. I guess the Chilled Kongs kind of did that. They have those black FOMO hats. That's one of the traits for some of the Chilled Kongs.
I actually have one.
You have one?
I have one in my hand right now.
Oh my gosh. I've been wanting one of those so bad.
I was fortunate to mint I minted one Chilled Kong, and I remember to this day, I was sitting at my computer, and at the time, I think it was 35 ADA, but like ADA was like, I don't know, a dollar something, or maybe even higher at the time. And was it 38 ADA? I don't know, but it was relatively cheap in comparison to today. And I was like debating, should I buy one or two? One or two? And I only bought the one, and then of course, they skyrocketed, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But the one that I bought and I never let it go, it has a FOMO hat trait. So they did a thing in the Discord where it was like a raffle. So anybody that had that trait put into a raffle to get one of the limited amounts and they ship it out. And somehow I won.
Gosh.
Yeah.
That's awesome, dude. That's awesome. So how many do they make? Like 100 or something?
No,
of those hats?
No, I don't think it was less than that. I think it was like 30.
Jeez, that's crazy. Another guy that I follow, he has one. It's gonna bug me now. He has that like just general financial podcast. I got to go find him now real quick.
Oh, Dan? Dan Geo something?
No. Gosh, that's going to bug me. It might be easier if I try to find his podcast. I'm subscribed to it. The Stay Winning, a financial health podcast.
No, what's I'm his? Not familiar.
Okay, let me find his Twitter real quick.
Yeah, but while you're looking that up, the whole thing about the merch traits and stuff, like the idea that I've been like going back and forth in my head, because like my thing is my boss cat has a Boss Cat Rocket Club hat on, a red hat, and like I have absolutely no intentions of changing my PFP like ever. Like that's my identity. Like if I'm changing it, I'm changing it to my face. Like there's no other NFT that's going to replace that. So it's like, I kind of like the idea of being known for that and then translating that into the real world with a real life, Boss Cat Rocket Club, hat. So I'm in the process of trying to make one, you know, getting the designs from, you know, Alibaba, getting some hats from Alibaba, yada, yada, blah, blah. And then actually making one for myself. So whenever I'm like out and about, you know, it's all branding and whatnot when you're trying to get
right.
And just have that rocking. So I'm going to start with that. And then like I actually spoke to one of the founders, and they were like, I was like, what's like the copyright? Like, am I allowed to do this? He goes, as long as you own an NFT that contains that trait, you're more than welcome to create and sell whatever you want of it. And I was like, all right, bet. So that's the plan, is to do one, use it to promote, see if anybody else is interested, sell those, you know, promote the fact that I'm selling these, move on to the next trait, and then move on to another project and see if they're willing to, and then eventually build from there. And I'll be like the location to, or I'll do collabs the way that I do these Sunday puzzles.
Yeah.
I would do the same thing with the collaborations with the hat.
Or dude, with that's genius. That's genius. So you're for people who don't follow you on Twitter, you know, yours is the Boss Cat with the red hat and the red background, which is just boom. It's just like bright and vibrant.
Yep.
But are you saying like you're going to make the actual red hat that's on yours.
Yeah.
Dude, I'll buy one of those. I'll buy one. I'll send you the money right now.
that's what I like to hear, man. But yeah, that's the goal, is to get one and see if people are into it, and then build something out of that, man. Like if I'm gonna be here grinding and trying to build a following, then I might as well have some type of business that comes along with it that's gonna make me some, you know,
dude,
some income.
Yeah. Yeah, I freaking love that, dude. I've been trying to like spin my wheels and figure out ways that I can like make it more real, like the NFTs. So I love that, man. I know you're going to do it, and I'm going to buy one. So I'll be the first person to buy. Are you going to make one of those gold Ada necklaces too? Cause I'll buy one of those.
So I wanted to go to CNFT con, AKA, well, this was last year, so it was CNFT con, but now it's Vegas. What is it?
NFT Las Vegas, or something.
Las Vegas. I was going to do the hat, and then I bought a gold chain just because, you know, I just wanted a gold chain. But I was going to go on Etsy and see if somebody could, like, I don't know, make me the A, and then I would hook it onto the Cuban link that I already have.
Right.
The hat, and just, you know, with a t-shirt on, and the t-shirt itself probably has like my PFP on it with my name under it, so people can like see the comparison between the two.
That's genius. Dude, that's awesome. I love that. Wow. Speaking of Etsy, I reached out to I have a road bike, and I bought some Bitcoin and Cardano stickers and slapped them on my road bike. And the stickers are super like high quality. And I reached out to the lady who made the stickers, and I was asked if she'd be willing to do like custom ones or like add just different cryptocurrencies to the ones that she sells.
Yeah.
And she said she would. I haven't messaged her back, but I was going to ask her if she would do some snack stickers.
Yeah.
And then like let everybody know and just like blow her Etsy up. But like I was saying, her stickers were super high quality and they were a pretty decent price. And I know a lot of people would buy them if she made them.
Dude, that's very nice of you to promote this this lady's store.
Yeah,
I say go for it. Why not?
Yeah, I just I messaged her on my lunch break, and then she messaged me almost back immediately, and I forgot to reply back. So I'll do that after this podcast. Let her know.
What artwork would you like? What specific artwork would you use
for snack? Man, I don't know. I could send her a few and just say which one do you think would be best and or the easiest.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I almost think just the original Sneck meme face with the with the pipe. It's just kind of the classic.
Yeah,
but
I would cop one of those. I love what Sneck is doing. Before we go any further, because it's weird that we kind of diverged because you were looking up somebody. Did you want to like? Do you even remember the thought that we left off on? About when you look up the Twitter guy.
Oh, the other guy. His Twitter is. I had it up. My computer's being slow. So his Twitter is at StayWinningPod, and he just throws out a bunch of like general financial education stuff, and he's pretty smart. It's just basic, but like good stuff to know. And one of his videos that he was doing, he does like a YouTube podcast type thing. In one of his videos, he was wearing that Chilled Kong's FOMO hat. That's why I brought him up. But I'll have to find the video. I can't find it right now.
Cool. I think Cardano Thor might even have one. I might have seen it in the background. I don't know if you follow him, but... I don't know. He's interesting, I guess. But anyway, about on the subject of Twitter/X, like, how do you feel about everything that's going on in terms of the transition from Twitter into X and all the monetization opportunities?
I don't love the transition from Twitter to X, but like, I get why Elon's doing it. I just don't think it's as cool to say like posting instead of like tweeting. Like, I don't know. There's like a whole, you know, decade of that culture within Twitter, I guess. Just, but other than, you know, I think in a year, everybody's going to be so used to it. And I think Elon knows what he's doing. But the monetization thing, I think, is genius. I think that's one of the reasons why he bought Twitter, is to get it monetized and get people kind of paid, which I think is super sweet. A lot of people that I follow, they've posted like how much they've gotten for the month. And it's like, holy crap, that's insane. So I don't know. I think it's really good. And I think it's good for the social media space overall.
Yeah.
What about you?
Pretty much the same sentiment. It is annoying to constantly have to remind myself that it's not a tweet or it's not Twitter or any of that stuff like that. And like, it doesn't help that X doesn't really, there's no like cool things to say along with X, cause it's just a letter. Mm-hmm. But I think that's, small in comparison to the big picture of the platform.
Right.
Yeah. Twitter has always had difficulty monetizing. You know, you have YouTube that monetizes, Twitch that monetizes, Instagram. You don't monetize. That's more like brand deals and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, I think it's cool that he's bringing this like ability to create long form content, whether it's like blog posts if you're premium or longer videos if you're premium. And kind of brings out, it kind of like centralizes the ecosystem, because before you would have to be linking out to YouTube for longer videos, you know, linking out to this, to that. Sure. And I like the idea of everything being in one place. I know he's trying to do the everything app like China does with WeChat. And I think, and I think that's cool. And some people are like, well, you know, like, China is not dictator. Is it dictatorship? I think so. But it's like, that's the only thing they can use. But like the rest of the world, it's like, okay, if you don't like that idea, then don't use it. There's so many other other apps for you to use. So like,
right.
I hate people that use that as an excuse, but I don't know. Like you said, I think Elon knows what he's doing. He's a very smart man. He's proven himself a worthy businessman 100 times over. So I'm kind of just following his lead and trying to capitalize on trying to make some of this money. Cause it's cool, man. Can you imagine being somebody that's on the other side of the country or not country on the other side of the planet that might be, you know, in a third world country, but is, you know, affluent enough to build a following on Twitter and then is making like money. And I'm assuming it's USD is what the payouts are in, I would think.
Huh. Yeah. I wonder if it's USD or just whatever currency they have, or if they just have kind of the top 10, 15. No, I don't know. I wonder if they have that on their like FAQ.
I know eventually they want to have X coin or whatever. Eventually, yeah, that's like the goal, is to like the way Twitch uses like gems and stuff. They want to have that here. So I would assume the way that it will work is it's like everything's gamified, obviously, and then you would get your payouts, I would assume, in this coin, and then that coin itself you can either A, use it within the robust Twitter ecosystem, because I'm sure he's looking to build, you know, bring in like merchant services into the app. So like you can pay for things with this X coin, or I guess transfer it into your local currency.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense. That's sweet. Okay. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. My brother has a TikTok. He plays guitar on TikTok, and he said that he'll go live. He has a pretty decent following. He'll go live and like people like tip him in whatever TikTok coin. I don't know. I'm not on there.
Exactly. Same thing.
Yeah. Gotcha. That's sweet. Has he said a kind of time frame of when he wants that to happen?
No, not specifically. He has mentioned there have been tweets about it and plenty of threads about it. But there hasn't, I don't think there's been any set dates or anything. I think we have a long way to go before we get to that point. But just knowing that it's in the pipeline to me is very exciting.
Yeah, that's sweet. That's sweet. So are you trying to kind of grow and is getting monetized the right word, or just be able to get some of that ad revenue that a lot of these creators are getting? Is that kind of your goal?
Yeah, definitely. When I first started, my goal was get as many followers as possible. But then I realized that's not really a goal, you know? Because once you have as many, then what? Then what do? You know? And this was even before X was even before Elon even talked about buying Twitter. So it was like, I didn't know what I was going to do. I just wanted to grow a following. But then after a while, I started to realize, like, obviously in today's day and age, in order to build any type of business, really, you need some type of already established following to sell a product to, or at least use as like a launch pad for a product. So I figured, okay, I can hang out in the community. I can create some fun within the community. I can build a following that way. And then eventually I'll think of something to sell or, you know, build or whatever. And then like, see if my following is interested in that. And then once the, you know, X came out and the monetization model came out, that gave me even more of an incentive to be like, okay, let's try and build this. Let's try and create. And I'm not trying to gamify. Like, I feel like a lot of people are like really just farming.
Like engagement farming. Yeah.
Yeah. Like crazy. But it's like, which is whatever, you know, if the rules are there for you to do that, then go for it. But it's like, I want to create a community around my account and my brand that's semi-organic, but I like people to follow me because they like me. They like what I say, how I say, you know, the things that I do, the type of games that I try to create for everybody to, you know, just enjoy and pass the time until the bull run comes back around and just go from there. So
I think it's really smart, man. Like, you kind of had that idea from the start. I think that's a genius idea. You're doing it right, obviously. Like, I would love to kind of get monetized, get some of that ad revenue. And right now it's like, I really don't know what I'm doing. I'm kind of getting better at it just through trial and error. And if I've watched some of these bigger accounts give tips on like how to do it and how to build a good following and get those impressions that you need to qualify. But I don't have any like ideas like you do to sell products, which would really help. But
you have to start like that. Start sharing whatever you know.
Yeah. I know a lot about crypto, but then there's a lot of people who know a lot more about crypto than I do. So trying to compete with them is
which is totally fair. But everybody, like you said, everybody knows everything about crypto in a crypto community, but some people are advancing further than others. So like, what is it that's different about them than everyone else? I think the most difficult thing is not that other people know more about crypto than you do. It's more about trying to figure out and understand what your particular perspective on all of it is. Now, you said you went to law school. Did you finish law school? Are you a lawyer?
Yeah. So I'm practicing lawyer right now.
So you're practicing law right now. There's got to be some intersection of law and crypto, whether it's crypto law or something in between that you can kind of speak from. Whether you enjoy being a lawyer and talking that talk, I don't know, you know, but I'm just using it as an example because I know nothing about law. You do. So you have a perspective that I don't have that I would love to hear because I don't know the first thing about law. So like, it doesn't have to be law, but like that's the idea.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Totally. Was it today? It might've been yesterday. I tweeted something of just kind of like a general tip of that connects with the area of law that I practice in. I do probate mostly. Are you familiar with what probate is?
Nope.
Most people aren't, so that's okay. How I explain it to people is basically probate is the legal process of when somebody dies, if they have a will, you know, a last will and testament stating who they want to get their stuff. Probate is the legal process of taking that will to the court and making sure that the right people get the right stuff. Or if they don't have a will, which the majority of people don't, then most states have laws that say who gets what. So like if somebody dies and they were married, a lot of states say that like the surviving spouse gets like 50% of the estate or the assets, and then the children split the remaining 50% if there is children. And then if there's no children, then there's a lot of like, well, then this person will get it or that person. So that's how I kind of explain the probate process. And so I have a lot of ideas of how I can tie that into crypto, but it would kind of fizzle out really fast because there's only so much I can say about it, if that makes sense. So I wouldn't really be able to come up with like a ton of new content consistently. So
I always say that because like I've noticed that some of these big accounts are literally saying the same shit over. They're just
saying, that's a good point.
Like there are definitely accounts where a good amount of their posts are just different versions of Hopium, you know.
Sure.
Cardano, Cardano is back at number one with the most development on the chain, you know, saying something like that. Or there's somebody that I know that constantly posts like, you know, every 5 days with, you know, the staking and the epoch, you know, the world-renowned Ori Boris, or I can't pronounce it, Airdrop, which is just the staking comes. And he says that like literally every 5 days and people go crazy over it. But it's like most of the time, it's just like saying, it's saying the same shit, just differently. And for whatever reason, sometimes you'll say something and it gets no engagement. And then you'll literally say the same exact thing, but just in a different way. And it blows up. It's so weird, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I guess I just need to keep playing with it because I do have some good, tips that aren't really like legal advice. That's also a thing I got to be careful for that I'm not giving like legal advice on X. But yeah, I'll work on it.
Yeah. What else is there to do? It's either you work on it and you succeed or you fail. It's one of the two.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Well, I'm excited for your, products, like I said.
Dude.
But I did have some other questions for you about going back to jumping way back to NFTs. Boss Cat Rock Club, is that the kind of biggest NFT holding that you have, or are you involved or have a lot of other NFTs?
Yes. It's definitely my baby. It's definitely I hold the most. I think I hold, and I'm no whale by any means, but I hold maybe like I think 5 Boss Cats, 10 of the Vox Cats,
the Vox Cats,
2 spaceships, and then 2 estates on Boss Planet. So. Nice. Yeah, I've got a pretty good bag. It's just I really like what they're doing, and I've liked it from the beginning. And like, it's crazy. I got in on that obviously at Mint, right? And mm-hmm. they were the first at the time, the first popular or hyped mint that was coming around that had such a low mint. It was only 28 per cat. And I think at the peak, they were like over 2K ADA for each one. And I was holding,
that's wild.
And I was holding 10 of them. And then, you know, I sold some and because I was like, I can't see all this money in front of me and not take some.
And not take it. Yeah. Yeah.
So I eventually slowly, I guess, DCA'd out of five of them. So I hold mm-hmm. the other five. And I don't know. I just I think what they're doing is crazy. The metaverse that they're building, they've actually showed progress. You know, it's not just mm-hmm. hopium and dreams. They care about the community. Like they threw two parties so far. Two like
really?
Yeah. Granted, they were in across the country. Like I think one was in Thailand. I keep saying country, across the world. I think one was in Thailand, one was in, I can't remember, places that I was not able to go, but the videos that they showed of the people there and having a good old time, like they're actually doing things outside of crypto with their project.
Love that.
They have a bunch of partnerships with like different hotels and different brands.
Yeah,
where you can get like a discount for, you know, just for staying at a place. Just, you know, you show your NFT, which I always thought was like one of the main reasons of having an NFT is essentially it's like a pass into like exclusive real world like events or whatever experiences mm-hmm. and whatnot. So they've proven themselves and, you know, I'm sticking with them until zero, essentially.
Till zero. Yeah. Yeah. Dude, that's awesome. That's awesome. I keep wanting to pull the trigger and get a boss cat. I just haven't yet.
I would do, I would obviously do your own research as always. Look at what they're doing, look at what they've, and they even said in the beginning, they were like, this is a 5-year thing. This is not an overnight thing. This is going to take five years, which I appreciate because I don't think I've ever been part of a community and I'm sure it's happened, but I haven't personally heard from the founders of the community that like, listen, you can mint this, but know that what we're doing is going to take 5 years. And that got me hyped because it's like, okay, they're realistic. They're not just saying they're going to do something. Exactly.
Long-term goal. Yeah.
100%. And I think that's price awesome. Right now is pretty good. It really depends if you think that we're at the bottom of the market right now. If we are, then I can't see them going too much lower. I think they're at like mm-hmm. 4-something now, although, you know, over time. Yeah, they have been going down, obviously, over time. They've been around over a year, almost 2 years, maybe. Mm-hmm. But, I don't know. They're the lowest that they've ever been. So
I'm curious. Now I'm gonna look it up right now. I might have to buy one tonight. if they're in the 400s, that's crazy. $399. I'm buying one tonight.
Yeah.
Holy.
Yeah.
There's some sweet ones at the floor. Yeah, okay.
They're all sweet to me. They're just so cool, and it's so funny. I remember them getting so much shit in when they first came out because, like,
really,
they were like people were saying, "Oh, they're a ripoff of Gutter Cats," which is
I've never even heard of Gutter Cats.
Well, yeah, because it's on. I think it's on. It's on another chain. I can't remember if it's on Ether if it's on Solana, but. But they were like shitting all over us, like, yeah, they're just a ripoff. I'm not going anywhere near that project, this and that, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, wow. But like, usually when I hear that, it gets me excited because like, I feel like negativity comes, especially on Twitter, people that are negative towards something are coming mm-hmm. from a place of like FOMO or not even FOMO. There is no fear. Yeah. They missed out and now they're just shitting on them.
For sure. I think it's FOMO and jealousy.
Yes.
I think there's some jealousy in there too.
100%. Like,
I see that a lot with people that take shots at Cardano, and it's always like Ethereum maxis. And it's like, you're literally like making stuff up, or you're talking about Cardano, like pre-staking before you could even stake.
Yeah.
Like you're talking about stuff from like 2019. That's like resolved or like upgraded. And it's like, you don't even know what's going on. And it's like, so anyway,
no,
you're kind of off topic, but
no, not off topic at all. You're 100% right, man. I don't understand. It's so funny. It's like, I've posted this plenty of times. I always ask, like, what is it about Cardano that people come for us like all the time? It's like, I don't even think twice about what other chains are doing. Like, I don't either. I don't care. Like, I wish the best of luck. Like, I want all coins to do well because that's just good for the entire ecosystem. But at no point did I ever just saunter over to XRP Twitter and be like, you know, good for you guys. You guys are never going to go anywhere because, you know, the SEC is going to turn. Like, why would I do something like
right.
that? But people yeah, do this. Right. Dude, I was at a wedding once and I was talking to somebody that was into crypto. This was like, this is probably about a year ago. And the guy goes, oh, what are you into? I'm like, Cardano. He goes, ooh, really? And I'm like, what do you mean, ooh, really? What the fuck does that even mean? And he's yeah, like, oh, yeah. you know, like, I heard XYZ. I was like, oh, so you've heard. So you have absolutely no idea what it is you're talking about. You're just basing right. off of what other people said. He's like, oh, yeah. He had nothing to say. I was like, exactly.
Yeah. 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 I had a very similar experience. I was talking with a buddy. He's now a Bitcoin maximalist. They're almost worse than like Ethereum maximalists, but he's super cool. I don't think I'll ever convince him that there's things that are great besides Bitcoin, but he'll hear me out. And he kind of said the same thing. Like, there's nothing built on Cardano. It's going nowhere. Like, Charles Hoskinson said he's going to do all this stuff in Africa and he hasn't done it. And I was like, give me 5 minutes. And I sent him all this stuff of developments and like real world stuff in Africa with like World Mobile token. Yep. And he was just like, oh, I'm like, yeah, you're bringing stuff up from 4 years ago, buddy. Like,
exactly.
Think before you say it. Yeah.
And the thing I don't understand about Bitcoin maxis is like, what do you, I don't understand what you're a maximalist about, because it's Bitcoin. It's a hold, what do they say? A hold of value, a hold of I don't know. There's a specific term.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, but I can't.
But anyway,
I can't.
The point is, it's digital gold. Like, do you right. go around like buying stuff with like pieces of gold? No, you don't. Like, what are you building on Bitcoin? Ordinals, that's cool, but it's only cool because there's nothing else to like compare to on Bitcoin. It's like the new cool right. thing. And NFTs right. were hot. So like, okay, cool, we have Ordinals. But like, what can you build? What problems can you solve? What software can you create to solve problems in the world? With Bitcoin, there is none. Now, does that yeah. mean that I'm against Bitcoin? No, I'm 100% for Bitcoin. Like, I'll take Bitcoin over gold any day, because I guarantee you, you know, if it's 10 years, 50 years, 1,000 years in the future, gold is going to be obsolete. And digital currency, Bitcoin, I think, is going to be the store of value. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Will be the store of value. And then you have all these other quote-unquote L2s that are, you know, going to actually be doing shit in the world, whether it's Cardano or ETH or Solana or XYZ that comes out of nowhere right. in 10 years. Like, we have right. no idea.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with you 100%, man. Like, but even the ordinals, like, for a while at the beginning of this year, they were super popular, but they bogged down the blockchain. Like, all of a sudden, you started seeing like $20, $40 transaction fees on Bitcoin because it was so bogged down because it's so slow. And, you know, and so it's like, cool, Bitcoin's doing something different, but it's not really working out that great, you know? you can't, it's not cheap anymore. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, like you said, it's not able to solve problems like Cardano is. Like, I always bring up World Mobile Token because mm-hmm. I just think they're, it's literally solving a real world problem, giving people cell phone service that never had it before. Yep. Like, who else is doing that? I don't know of one other project that's doing that. And it's like, it's powered by the blockchain. I think that's freaking sweet. So,
you holding, I'm assuming you're holding some?
Just a little bit. Wish I had some more, but mostly in some meme coins. God. Yeah.
The only meme coin I'm holding, dude, I can't blame you. I got on the meme coin hype train heavy in the beginning, but it's so funny how like short lived that was. But at the time it felt like we were going to go to the moon with it. So, you know, I grinded out for, I think, a banker coin. I grinded out for Spicy. I think Spicy was the last one. What else? Snack, obviously, because it was the first one. And God, do I wish I bought more in the beginning. And you know, it's funny. I did buy a good amount in the beginning and then sold it when it got to a certain point, and then it like skyrocketed mm-hmm. from there. And I'm like, I think a meme coin every now and then, you know, something a little fun to play around with. But like now I'm only in, Snack is the only meme coin that I'm holding right now, because I do think it could be something, even if it's like, even if we just ride off the back of the first like Cardano meme coin, which technically I guess is Hosky, but it's like with the quote unquote term meme coin, with meme coin season mm-hmm. and stuff, like Snack was really the first.
Yeah.
So like, I think that holds value the same way. I think like a lot of people aren't into Space Buds anymore, but like, mm-hmm. it's the first, and that's enough value right there. So like 100 years from now, if you're still holding on to the first Cardano NFT mm-hmm. collection, then like there's going to be value to that. So
sure.
That's why I did Snack.
Yeah. I think Snack is, the majority of my portfolio that's not NFTs. And I almost have more Snack in US dollar value than Bitcoin at this point.
Really?
Yeah. And I've, Bitcoin has dominated my portfolio, but just the last few months that Snack has grown a lot. Okay. So
you were a Snack maxi, huh?
I don't know if I want to say I like Snack a lot.
Yeah.
We'll just put it at that. We'll put it at that.
That's fair. So did you get any drinks?
Yeah, I did one case, and I'm kicking myself for not getting a few more.
Yeah. Yeah. Why? Just to have more or to flip?
Just because those first, what do they do, like 3,000 or 4,000 cases? Like they're going to have that first edition on the cans. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I wish I would have gotten at least two cases so I could drink one and then save one for 5-10 years.
Yeah, that's fair. And don't you get like an airdrop or something?
I think so. Yeah. I'm not super active in the Discord, which I need to be better at. I kind of hate Discord. So I don't really know what's going on with like Snack and Snack Energy and even a lot of the other NFTs that I'm in. I don't know why I can't get into Discord, but I know that's where a lot of info gets dropped.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. Like I'm in, at a certain point I was in like, I don't know, 50 different discords. And I'm like, this is too much, man. I can't, it's too much. So like my impetus for selling some of my NFTs was because I couldn't be in the discords. I had too many discords. And like, for me, it's like, I'm real anal about that. It's like, if I hold the NFT, that's not like a graveyard NFT. I have to be in the Discord because I need to know all the information that drops about it. Even if it's a project that like isn't really doing much, I need to be there. So like in order for me to get rid of the Discord, I had to get rid of the NFTs. It's some real OCD shit. But
I get it. Yeah. So you're also really into, is it the Stag Alliance? Am I right there?
Yeah. I would say that one I might be my second biggest holding.
Okay.
I think they're great. I think they're going to be great, and they've already shown glimpses of greatness up thus far. So.
Yeah, I haven't done enough of my own research. I have one NFT for the Stags. I just have seen you tweet or post a few times about them, and that you think that the team's solid and they have a solid roadmap. Mm-hmm. I think the art is fantastic. It's pretty unique, as far as the art goes. And so I like them, and I hope they do really good.
Do you know what like their shtick is, I guess?
I don't know.
They're trying to build, let's just say, they're trying to build like a Web3. Imagine the Harry Potter franchise. Mm-hmm. Had a Web3 experience. That's kind of like what they're building, right? The each NFT has either like a clan, and then like either like lower level. I can't remember the name specifically. Up until Royals, and each one has a specific job within this platform that they're building. It's like a gamified, story based. It's not a game. It is a game, but it's not like a platform or anything like that. It's like, you do these missions, you know, stories are told and stuff. So they're essentially just trying to create like a lore, like a living lore and, you know, create books and whatnot and pretty much just build this, like books. I said, Harry Potter-esque type of universe. And I think the leaders are incredibly smart, incredibly talented. I know one of the two founders actually quit his like a big boy job to do this full time. So it's like, okay, that's dedication that I can definitely appreciate in leadership.
That's sweet.
And I'm also biased because like when I minted whatever like whitelist I had, I can't remember at the time, but it allowed me. Oh no, I had a portal pass. So they had the portal passes.
Yeah.
And so I ended up winning one of those, right? And that portal pass enabled you to get an airdrop of another NFT after selling or after the mint was over.
Okay.
And I'm looking at my NFT spreads of what I got. I think I got like probably like, I don't know, four or five of them. I think I got five of them. And I'm just sitting there and I'm on JPEG and I get an offer. And I'm like, an offer for what? And I look at it and it was 3,500 ADA. And I'm like, 3,500 ADA for what? So I looked to see what it was, and it was a royal from the collection, from the Stag collection.
Whoa.
And I'm like, I was like, is that mine? So I had to go to my wallet and look, and I got airdropped a royal, bro. I was like, holy shit.
So the Stag Alliance team airdropped you a royal just for holding a portal pass?
Yeah. Not in the way you said that made it sound like they specifically gave me a royal. No, anybody that had the portal pass was part of a raffle. It was like they held amount, and I just happened to in that raffle I got a royal.
Gotcha. Okay.
Dude, it was hard for me to like, I was getting offers left and right. At first it was 3,500, then it was 55, then it was 6 grand. Oh, and I was like, I just said
that's
no.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I said no.
I still hold it.
Oh, yeah. I hold everything in that collection because, like, there are collections that I hold that I'm like, listen, if somebody wants to give me a certain amount, you can have it. But, like, for whatever reason, I really believe in the Boss Cat, Stag Alliance, Ori Mob.
Is that how you say it? Ori?
Yeah, Ori. Ori. The artist's name is Ori. So he named it Ori Mob.
Okay. Gotcha. I thought it was Ormob.
Yeah. You know,
I'm an idiot.
Maybe it is in other countries. That's how they pronounce Ori. Who knows?
Sure.
Yeah,
makes sense.
I believe in what they're doing, and I like what they're doing. And like, if you ever happen to be in their Discord, they've got plenty of sneak peeks of what the online like gaming platform or gamified experience, storytelling experience that they're building looks like. And I'm mm-hmm. pretty hyped. And they're doing like collaborations with other projects. And like for me, I really feel like any project, you can tell if a project, how, you know, popular they are or how good you think they'll be based on the other projects that they collaborate with. So like I'll see a project that it's like kind of like super low tier and they're just collaborating with other low tier. And I'm like, okay, yeah. Well then, you know,
yeah.
But then when I see like Stag Alliance collabing with, House of Titans, even though they're new and they haven't, you know, they haven't minted yet, but like mm-hmm. that's good company to me. So it's
and
that's another project that I'm really like excited about that I think is going to do well based off of the things that you've heard is House of Titans. I think they're really going to do well.
Yeah, I'm excited for House of Titans. I'm just waiting for my application to get approved. It's been pending forever.
I
commented on Apex's one of his posts and just like sarcastically said that it's still pending, and he DM'd me. He was like, "What? It's still pending? Like I should have been approved like a long time ago." And so I appreciated him just DMing me, but he seems incredible.
Dude.
I haven't interacted with him a lot, but just following him on X and seeing what that guy's doing, like kudos to him, man. I really think House of Titans is going to be fire.
Yeah.
Like
that, so, yeah. The dude's a workhorse, but the coolest thing is that, like you said, he is a workhorse, but like, he will DM you, like he will respond to you. He will communicate with the community, mm-hmm. which is like huge, especially for a founder who hasn't even minted and is like doing so much work to get, you know, this product out, but he'll still stop. Like when I asked him to do the Sunday puzzle, he was all mm-hmm. about it. Like he was totally nice. Into it. And I was very surprised. I was like, this guy's got so much going on, but he still wants to like collab with me. I was like, this is fucking awesome. And then we've kind of like built a little bit of a rapport over time, because it's when the first sneak peek came out, and it was literally, that's all it was. And it was just on fire. Everybody was going crazy.
Yeah.
I started doing some research because I was like, what is this? Who is this coming from? So I was looking at another project, and the art looked very similar to what they were doing. So I went into that Discord of that art, and I was like looking around, and I think I searched like artists, because I wanted to know who the artist was. That's what it was. I wanted to know who the artist was because I thought it was dope art. So mm-hmm. I looked for it, and then lo and behold, who do I see in one of the search results was Apex, like months ago, asking the same thing. And I'm like, okay. So then eventually I was like, let me DM him. I was like, hey, Apex, man, like, you know, I'm in this Discord. I'm looking for the artist, and I came across you, and it looks like the house. It looks like similar art to the House of Lions, blah, 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 blah. Essentially, he's like, yeah, that's me. Please don't like tell anybody yet, because I have my own way of telling people that, you know, I'm Apex and I'm the founder and blah, blah, blah. So since then, like we've had like a pretty good rapport. Like he'll DM me sometimes. Like the other night, he just randomly DM'd me with a couple screenshots of like of some of the NFTs in the project.
Ooh.
And of course he's like, you know, even before he said it, I was like, of course I'm not going to share this with anybody because I have no right to do that. But I'll tell you this, like some of the ones he sent me, I'm like, damn, dude, these are going to kill. These are going to do very well.
Dude, I'm super excited. is there a mint date yet? Has that been released, or are they still kind of up in the air?
There is a mint date, and I do know it, but obviously I can't say it because Apex, okay. You know.
So you know it, but it's not public yet.
Yeah, no, it's not public. That was one of the other things that he was like, listen, and then we're doing this thing, but like, you know, please don't tell anybody. Please don't tell anybody. And
gotcha.
I was like, okay, that's gotcha. Fair. That's fair.
Gotcha. That's sweet. Yeah, I might have to sell some snack so I can get a bunch of House of Titan NFTs because I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. And they're always doing like giveaways and shit. That's okay. So that's one of the other benefits of being in Discord. It's like I'm in some Discords that have not that much activity going on, but they're still connected with the community. So they'll get like whitelist to new projects, and your chances of winning are higher because there's less people that are trying to get into it. So I've been wanting to get into, I wanted a whitelist for the tool heads and CNFT tool heads. You familiar?
Yeah. I just saw them like a couple of days ago. So I'm excited for that too.
I wanted, and like, I wasn't grinding. Like I'm over, I feel like I'm too old to be grinding. I've been in NFTs for a year. I'm like an old man. I can't grind anymore. But
it's aged us all 10 years.
I know, for real. And, I was in another Discord and, just did one of the just click this if you want to be in the raffle, and I won one. So
nice. That's sweet.
That's like one of the advantages of being in different Discords.
Yeah. The only Discord I ever really pop into is the Melting Moon Boys occasionally, because there's still 15 people that are active in there.
Yeah.
And then I'll jump into the Clay Nation Discord here and there. Sure. I really like the Clay NFTs, and I have a few. Mm-hmm. So
I've only got one.
Is it a OG or is it a good Charlotte?
It's OG.
Yeah.
I did want a good Charlotte, but then I don't know, after a while I was like, why have a good Charlotte when I could get an OG?
Yeah. Yeah. I love what they're doing. I think Clay Nation, Boss Cats, Ape Society, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just doing stuff that other people aren't, and I'm really excited for all of them. I don't have any apes. Maybe tonight I'll get my first Boss Cat, but yeah, I love the Clays though. I'm real big on them.
Did you go to the store?
Yeah, I did. I did. My laptop can't handle it. It's like real laggy. I need an upgrade. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the store is cool. And I'm excited for when the sandbox opens up for your NFT avatar.
Yeah.
So
that's going to be tight.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like really psyched to get into these different metaverses and like,
yeah,
you know, build communities in those areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it was when Clay Nation announced a partnership with Sandbox. I think that's when I got my first one.
Oh, okay.
I was like, that's huge. That was huge. I'd always seen him around, and you know, I was buying Moon Boys for a long time for 100 to 300 ADA, and I saw the Clay Nation for thousands of ADA, and I was just like, I'll hold off.
Yeah.
But then, like I said, when they announced a partnership with Sandbox, I was like, okay, it's time. Mm-hmm. Like cross-chain, like that's huge. So yeah.
I'm pretty stoked on them as well. I always thought like, I think the idea is like, I don't know what the idea is. I know it's a metaverse, but like, I feel like it's going to be concentrated on music. I feel like they're going to have like a festival style type atmosphere where like you can see shows and artists can perform. Cause there's gotta be a reason why Good Charlotte, you know, is one of the people they connect with, why Snoop Dogg is another one.
Snoop Dogg.
It's all music based. So like, I get that like fest vibe. I'm telling you, in less than 3 years, we'll be in Clayverse watching Good Charlotte play a show, guaranteed.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Hopefully Snoop. Snoop's son too.
Yeah.
What's his son's Champ. Name? Yeah, Champ Medici or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's gonna be a long 3 years.
It is, man.
But
2025.
2045. 2 years, I guess. It's not terrible. Just keep DCAing into ADA and SNEC and NFTs here and there.
That's the game, man. That's the game.
It's the game. Yeah. Well, it's getting kind of late for you. Yes, sir. Anything else you want to talk about before we wrap this up?
No, not in particular. Unless you have any parting words or questions for me, I'm good.
Can't think of anything. Oh, I did find that guy who had that Chilled Kong's FOMO hat. I'll DM it to you right now. That post where he's wearing it, just so you can see. But yeah, other than that, I think I asked you all the questions I wanted to. Like, I just love hearing people's stories on how they got into crypto and what made it interesting to them, and especially with different NFTs, because NFTs are a big part of our community. So I just love hearing that from other people.
Yeah, man, I love talking about this stuff. Crypto is my thing. Cardano is my bitch. So like, I'll talk about her whenever anyone wants.
Yeah, I love it, man. I love it. I don't talk about it enough because none of my friends that I see and hang out with, they're not. None of them are into crypto. So Twitter, X, my podcast is the only way I talk about it. So I'm always appreciative of when people come on and entertain me with that.
I would be more than happy to do this again.
Well, I appreciate it, brother. I appreciate it. I've got a few other people lined up that I think will be sweet. I don't want to give it away. There's one guy, man, I've been trying to get him on for weeks. I don't want to say who it is, but he is, he's a clay whale. I'll say that.
Okay.
Yeah. I did some digging and found a few wallets that he has. And dude, yeah, he's agreed to come on. I just, got to find a time that works for both of us. Okay. So
where do you, where do you post this? Like, where do I go to see this stuff?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So, they're all on. It gets posted on every major platform for podcasts. So Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Can't remember the other ones, but I'll get it uploaded probably tomorrow. And then I'll DM it to you and I'll probably post it on X if that's cool with you too.
Totally. Is it called Moonshot? Cool.
Moonshot, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Moonshot Podcast. So
I dig it. Yeah, man, this is awesome. I want to do more stuff like this. Like, obviously, if I'm trying to build and grow within this community, I gotta talk with people in the community. So I'm always down.
Yeah. Oh, Sunday. I'm doing a podcast with the founder of the Turtle Syndicate and the Turtle Token.
Oh, nice.
So he's coming on. I don't know if you've seen that at all, but he seems like a cool dude.
I've definitely seen it. I think I saw it. Was it Tortle?
Tortle, yeah.
Yeah, I think that pumped pretty good at one point, but I think it was like after I was like, okay, I'm done with the meme points and stuff like that. But listen,
man,
more if he's still building and they're trying to do something with it, more power to him, you know? Doesn't have to be a meme coin. A meme coin doesn't have to be a meme coin. You know, it can actually be something. So power to the people that are trying to make it something.
Yeah. He's still working. He's working hard. And, you know, I have a lot of the Tortle token. So he made a comment on one of my posts. And so I just DM'd him. I was like, hey, you want to come on the podcast? And he said, absolutely.
See?
So that'll be in a few days.
Listen, if you don't ask, you'll never know.
that's right. So all right, Investronaut, appreciate it, man. It's been fun, and hopefully you can do this again sometime.
Big Melty, of course, man. You have a good night.
All right, you too, brother. See ya.
Bye.
Thanks again for listening to this episode with my friend the Investronaut. If you're on X, Twitter, click his profile link in the show notes below and give him a follow. Also linked in the and the show notes are a few of the NFT projects that we talked about: Bosscat, Rocket Club, Melting Moon Boys, and Clay Nation.